Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
And here it is. It's another Sunday, and it's just about time to pre-order those books.
Have you pre-ordered your book?
Oh, please pre-order your book. Let's make 2021 a summer to remember.
You know what is a cool thing that my publisher told me?
What?
They said that based on the information that they have from the pre-order incentive campaign, where, you know, people could submit their pre-order number and listen to the bonus podcast or the happy hour.
What do you want to do?
Bo is bored and wants to leave.
Bo is like, if I have to listen to this freaking podcast one more time.
He's like, where's the dog cast?
Just open the door. Let him skedaddle. He can come in and out. I don't care if the door's open. I think the mic's going to pick it up. She left. Bo followed behind. Unclear. I asked her to open the door because she's closest to it. It's a sliding door. I don't know that I could have even gotten there.
How long until he starts barking?
To do what? Come back in?
No. At someone walking by.
Oh, the second someone walks by. It's fine. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I was going to say. Oh, you know what? Let me just preface this by saying that if you have pre-ordered, I appreciate you no matter what, no matter where you pre-ordered from or right. In any format. But what I was going to say is my publisher was very pleased that so many of the pre-orders have come from independent bookstores.
Oh, well, that's nice.
People are supporting their local indies.
That's great.
Isn't that cool?
That's what they said based on the numbers?
Yeah, because when you submitted your order number for the pre-order incentive, you had to say where you bought it from.
I see. I thought you were going to say, based on pre-order numbers, I am the next Michael Crichton.
I mean, not yet.
Okay, well, hello. Help Maybe, Dory become Michael Crichton.
Should I write a satire called Jurassic Bark?
No, you shouldn't, because that was left to Mad Magazine in 1993, so.
Oh, I should go back in time and write for Mad Magazine in 1993.
I don't know what. I wonder what it was. I wonder what the Mad Magazine Jurassic Park parody was.
Mm. So, you can also, another thing you can do is go to the link in the show notes, the Eventbrite link in the show notes. It's also on my website, dory-shafrir.com. And you can get a ticket to the two-night Thanks for Waiting launch event, which is on June 28th and 29th. I am especially excited about a conversation I'm going to be having with Elizabeth Holmes of So Many Thoughts, which is her commentary on royal fashion. But she struggled with infertility, did IVF for her three children, and we are going to be in conversation about infertility. So I'm really looking forward to that one. You don't have to buy the book to come to the event. Anyone can come. It's free. There's a live stream. It'll be great. You do have to register, though. But if you do choose to buy the ticket, you get a signed hardcover copy of the book from an independent bookstore here in LA. You also get to participate in the chat that is going on during the event and the Q&A, and there will be a special after party just for ticket holders, paid ticket holders.
When does that kick off?
June 28th.
At what time?
At 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
Everybody who pre-ordered and signed up for the incentive of an Excellent Adventure Extra podcast, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or today, depending on when you're listening to this.
Probably today.
Or yesterday or in the past sometime.
It's Monday the 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Someone seems to have decided that that's like the magic time to get people on both coasts.
Well, yeah, 9's too late.
Yeah.
You know, 5 o'clock, I'll just stay at my desk.
Right.
I guess that's how it goes.
Except no one's at their... Well, I guess people are going back to the office.
People are at their desks. A lot of people are upset about going back to their offices.
That's true. Oh, and you know what else?
No, I don't.
Thanks for Waiting was chosen as one of the best books of June by Apple Books.
Way to go, Apple Books.
Thank you.
Did I know that? I knew that. You told me that.
I think I told you that.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, did they do that based on a pre... Like a galley? Do they read them? No.
They must. I don't think they just...
I bet they're like, what are people pre-ordering? Oh, that's going to be one of the best.
No.
I have to imagine that that's the case, honey.
Wow, that's kind of a diss.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying that it was doing well in pre-orders.
It's basically saying, like, your book could be trash. It doesn't matter.
Not what I was saying
like,
at all.
Not like they read your galley and they thought it was really good, which would be like a more complimentary thing to say.
Sure. Okay. So I messed that up.
Yeah. But
I mean, what else? What I mean, I just find it hard to believe that somebody's out there at Apple reading books.
Of course they are.
What?
That's like literally their job.
Someone's job is to read books for Apple?
Yes.
That doesn't exist. Whose job is that?
You don't know anything about publishing, so.
No, but I used to work for Apple.
So? You didn't work for Apple Books.
It didn't exist.
Well, exactly.
There was a bookshop. There was a bookstore inside One Infinite Loop.
What'd they sell?
Steve Jobs? Like, a lot of programming books. Oh. No, Steve was alive when I was there. Cut me in line for sushi.
Wow.
And he paid in cash.
Hmm.
And he had a Bank of America debit card, business debit card.
Oh, you really spied on him.
Well, I mean, it just like, I was like, what is the one of the richest guys on the planet's wallet look like? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I also was like, you're Steve Jobs and everyone knows you're Steve Jobs and you just take the sushi and go?
Apparently, no.
No. You get in line and you pay with everybody.
You know what?
Else.
I respect that.
As do I. He got it himself too. It wasn't like an assistant got it for him or anything like that, you know?
I'll tell you, that would not happen in Hollywood.
Holly weird.
You think Ted Sarandos or whatever his name is, head of Netflix, is going to the cafeteria and getting his own sushi?
Oh, good question. But I'll tell you, if Netflix had a Cafe Max.
They have a really nice cafeteria.
Is it good food?
I've been there, yeah. It's really good
food.
Maybe
he does.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the Cafe Max food.
Oh, but you know what? Really, their food is free.
Whose is?
Netflix's.
Oh, Steve wasn't having that.
Yeah, apparently. I wonder if that's changed, because I feel like Google and like a lot of those tech companies, like one of the perks that they offer is free food.
Well, I mean, maybe someone could answer.
I'll tell you where it was not free. The Condé Nast cafeteria.
I've been.
And it was not free.
Yes.
Someone paid for it.
I remember that. Yes. A couple times I've been to that cafeteria.
You know, it was the saddest corporate cafeteria that I have ever.
Let's hear it. Saddest corporate cafes.
Newsweek.
You are the saddest corporate cafe.
I mean, this was probably, you know, seven offices ago. This was in 2006 when I was interning for Slate, which was then owned by Newsweek, or the Washington Post Interactive, which like there was some Newsweek connection. Anyway, you could go to the cafeteria up on the like 12th floor or whatever and get like really sad, like frozen sort of looking pizza.
I will say, I think lunch in
New York. A panini. That was their big thing. And you had to pay for it.
Someone bought a $20 panini press.
Yes.
And made those happen for you.
Paninis.
On white bread.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I feel like lunch in New York is like so hit or miss.
Well, if you work in Midtown.
Yes.
There's so many places that are like specifically lunch places for office workers who have all like been really struggling over the last like year and a half because no one's been in their offices. Like there's this whole ecosystem of
It's like ballparks moving, you know, when baseball strikes happen or football strikes and there are no games and there's all these restaurants and stuff around the stadiums that like depended on the stadiums to be full of people.
Yes. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with all those.
So that's why no one's going back to offices.
All those branches of Sweetgreen and what have you.
All those Sweetgreen branches. That is interesting.
You know, Just Salad. I wonder if that place still exists. They really got eclipsed by Sweetgreen.
Last time I was walking in New York, I was like, there were like two or three like lunch spots like that.
Yeah.
That were vacant, like that were salad places that were gone.
I feel like salad, there was like a salad oversaturation.
Yeah, but like the bodega that cooks hot food, they seem to still thrive in that market, weirdly.
Well, because it's usually pretty cheap, and I wonder if they still have the buffets at the bodegas.
I doubt it.
Because that was another big office worker thing, the like deli buffet.
Yeah.
I actually did them a couple times, but It wasn't really my thing.
Sony cafeteria is not great.
Mm-hmm. And not free.
Nope, not free, but you get a discount with your badge.
Oh.
Then there's an executive dining room.
Oh.
It's actually in front of everybody.
Oh.
And just to the right. The only difference that I can tell is there are waiters and tablecloths. It's the same fucking food.
Mm.
So, whatever.
Interesting. Who would be on the lot without a badge?
Anybody who had just a name tag, you know, all the visitors. Oh,
but like, wouldn't they usually be with someone with a badge who could like be buying them lunch?
Probably.
It just seems weird to me. Like, why not just have the food discounted? Why go through the whole rigmarole of having to be a badge situation? Like, how many people are not badge holders?
I don't know.
Probably like 3%.
I'll bring this up to Tom Sony when I get a chance.
Look, I'm just saying, I like efficiency, and it feels like that is an inefficiency.
Well, I'll tell Tom Sony. There was always a fictional guy, Tom Sony, that I would say, I'm going to go talk to Tom.
Okay.
Tom Sony.
Is he like Tom MySpace Tom?
No. Tom Sony is the 85th generation of Sony.
Cool.
From a very high, very powerful Japanese family.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And he spends time at the Sony lot sometimes.
Of course, yes.
When he's not trying to figure out how to make CD players come back.
That's a hard job.
It is. Yes. Lots of lunch talk. Don't know how we ended up there. But here we are.
Oh, we were talking about Apple Books.
Yeah, I do miss. I miss the idea of New York. I wonder what it's like right now.
I think it's like full on hedonistic party.
What?
Yes,
what are you talking about?
I think if you're in your 20s right now in New York,
yes,
you are like partying.
Why? What makes you say that?
Because everyone's vaccinated.
Yep.
Things are open.
Yep.
It's like, people are calling it hot vax summer.
Hot vax summer.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like the reverse of like when, what were they calling it when you had to pair up with somebody?
Cuffing season?
No, for the pandemic, you had to find your...
Oh.
There was a name for it.
You
had to find your...
Yeah, your...
Winter? Find Your Winter, I believe it was called. Remember that?
Really? Yeah. No, I don't remember this.
It was an NPR story. Whatever. Anyway, so it's like you find that one person you can tolerate and right. Stay there together during the quarantine.
Mm.
And now that everyone's free, it's
right.
Hedonistic. And
all right, see you later.
Everyone's, seems to be what you're telling me.
Just kidding. Yeah, I think New York is like a party right now.
Oh, well.
But probably not for people like us.
Thanks for not inviting us.
Old people.
Yet again. We're very old.
You hate leaving the house.
But I will.
I wonder if you lived in New York, if you'd leave the house more.
I mean, whenever I'm in New York, I'm never where I'm sleeping.
I know, but that's because you're visiting.
I know. But also, like, although, I don't know. I get the whole vibe of, like, I'm not going to Midtown right now.
Yeah.
Like, I get the whole vibe of, like, I'm already in Brooklyn. It's not happening.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's also, like, any place that you kind of, like, romanticize eventually loses its allure in a way. Like, it becomes just another place. Like, it becomes where you live.
Yeah.
Maybe that's cynical.
No, I mean, I get it. It's like... It's always weird to, like, see, you know, tourists in L.A. It's like, what are you doing here? It's horrible here. Go home. You should go somewhere where it's less hot and cleaner.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want to see handprints in the cement? Go to Disney Hollywood Studios. They've got a great Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Well, listen, before we take a break... Just going to remind everyone that we do have a Facebook group at facebook.com/group/excellentadventure. Our website is excellentadventure.com. We do have a Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure where we do 2 bonus episodes a month. And you also get your name read on the podcast each month if you support us at the $5 level or above. And our email is dorymatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. Our phone number, where you can also text us, is 413-461-BABY. We did not get a ton of messages this week, so...
So that email address was just read, so
yeah,
do it.
Because, you know, when we stop getting messages, it makes me think, people don't care about this podcast anymore.
Yes, but this always tends to happen in, like, the first weeks of summer. Remember, like, people start to go away,
vaguely,
and then they catch up, and
yes,
then
yes.
And then it's just the natural podcast dip.
Yeah.
As far as listeners. So anyway, back to the old, Dory, I think you're a little more clever than I think what is, it's ham-fisted, I would say. The 1993 Mad Magazine, Giraffes Has Had It, Park.
What?
I mean, I don't even like,
it's like not even a pun.
Yeah, I don't really, I mean, it's no Magnum PU. That's a Mad Magazine one. So.
All right. Well, I'll get to work on my Jurassic Bark parody.
Please do. That's genuinely terrible.
You kind of mocked me.
I did, but like now I'm like, why?
Now you're like, my wife is actually a genius. So.
Why? Why? Why is this? Why is this what it was? What a dumb Giraffe Has Had It Park. All right, Dick DiBartolo. If you're listening to the podcast, please write in.
All right. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Hang
on. I don't know. Wait, now we'll be right back.
Yeah, now we'll be right back. I need a...
I came back so we could have a clean. We'll be right back. And Dory's not happy about it. She said, oh, God.
No, I said, oh, God, because I could tell you were annoyed about having to redo it.
Well, I mean, look, every time we go to break, an angel gets its wings. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis. Oh, Matt,
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking
yarns. The light bulb's going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas is 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. All right, we're back.
Hello.
No more impressed by Mad Magazine's stuff. Anyway, that was more of a Cracked. I used to read Cracked.
Oh, sure. Cracked really had its day.
It did have its day. And then the website had its day for a second.
Yeah, it did. When I first started at BuzzFeed, Cracked was like neck and neck almost with BuzzFeed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was like similar sort of vibe.
Remember they like did like a video about Back to the Future that got a lot of views that like almost was verbatim my article I wrote for Nerdist.
That is rude.
Yeah, I mean, look. What are you gonna do? That's the internet.
It's true. All right. Let's kick things off with an email from Emma.
Okay, Emma, what's up?
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. Hope y'all are doing well in California. I'm a listener who wrote in asking for advice on balancing a positive outlook and managing my expectations with IVF. I also have a dog who looks like a small version of Beau, if that rings any bells. Your spot-on advice has come in handy during a canceled transfer in January. Poor lining. A canceled transfer in February. Unprecedented Texas winter storms.
Yeehaw.
And a failed transfer in March. Of course, we were sad, but thanks to y'all and our plan we developed on your advice, we now are just along for the process and are starting our second retrieval cycle this month.
That's great.
Dory, I'm so excited to hear your conversation with Elizabeth Holmes, as I know you've both been through this many times. I am excited about this, too.
Wait, Elizabeth Holmes is a IVF-er?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I'm talking to her about infertility.
I don't know her.
She does a Instagram called So Many Thoughts. Not Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos. Not that Elizabeth Holmes.
Right.
It's a source of great confusion for many people.
I'm so sorry that name now is taken from her.
Yeah. I mean, I guess she could use her husband's name if she wanted to.
I think I would. Like, if I was like, if Matt Myra suddenly, there was a Matt Myra out there who was like responsible for some crazy fraud, I'd be like,
You become Matt Shafrir.
I'd be like, I think I'm finally gonna take that stage name.
What would your stage name be?
Oh, it'd probably be Meyer.
Oh, Matt Meyer. Then people would always assume you were Jewish.
Okay. People already do.
I know.
What's the difference?
I'm saying like there would be no question in people's minds.
Okay.
If you were Matt Meyer. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, Emma. I'm writing in with some PIO shot advice, or PIO, as our caller last week said. And to answer Matt's question, yes, a Theragun works. We have an off-brand Theragun type thing to use after cycling, and when our nurse mentioned that massage would help, we thought we'd try it. We used it on/around the injection site for about a minute after the shots. Some nights it was pretty sore, but I think it helped disperse the oil as I didn't get any lumps.
That's great.
I also didn't get pregnant, so we only used PIO for a couple of weeks versus months, but it was definitely part of our routine. In my experience, the PIO shots themselves weren't too bad once you got over the psychological needle factor, but the estrogen shots, also intramuscular, definitely stung to me, but neither were unmanageable. Another yes. Matt, you do have listeners who play golf, albeit badly.
Me too.
We've gotten into a Sunday late afternoon gin and tonic golf kick lately. And it's been the perfect way to welcome longer days and to relish the child-free things we're able to do while we can.
If suddenly the world was like, hey, you can have late afternoon golf, I'd be like, wow. This is amazing.
But wouldn't it be too hot for you?
No, like right now?
Oh, this is evening golf.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, once you start at that last tee time, it's 6:40.
That's true.
Oh, I guess it is 8. What is the time?
It's 7:57.
It's almost 8, and it's still pretty light out.
Well, oh. We are almost at the longest day of the year.
Oh, if Henry would go to bed earlier or much later.
Also, wait, sorry. Finally, Dory, let us know if you do watch House. I loved it when it was out, and I'm curious if it holds up in the 2020s. Thank you, and looking forward to the live pod and book, of course. Emma, in 2,400-ish square feet in Dallas, one husband and one mini bow dog. Zero hot dogs in 2021, but I'm going to a Rangers game in a few weeks, so that will be rectified soon.
Excellent. Good old ball field at Arlington, where it's sure to be humid and 900 degrees.
Emma, thank you for your note, and I'm glad that our advice helped you. That makes me feel good that helped. But I'm sorry that your transfer didn't work and you have had all these annoying delays and stuff. So we're thinking of you guys. And I also love your attitude about relishing the child-free things you can do while you can.
I mean, for sure. I don't, you know, I remember I went out for drinks with Mosier and Jonah not long before Henry was born. And I remembered thinking, this will never happen again. Because I'm going to have to be home. But I cherished it.
I mean, you can leave.
I can't leave.
Yes, you can.
What are you talking about?
Like, if you...
For bedtime?
No.
I can't be gone.
If you said, hey, I want to meet a couple of friends for a drink tonight at like 7:30, I'd be like...
That's the thing, right? What if I said I want to do it at 6?
Then I'd be like, okay. Like, you...
You would say no.
No, I wouldn't.
You would resent it?
Matt, you were gone. When you were working, you made bedtime maybe once a week.
That was working, though. That's so different. It's different now. To do it by choice is different.
If you did it every night, I would be like, no, this is annoying.
Uh-huh.
If you did it like once in a while, I'd be fine with that because I would expect the same like for me.
Well, you get that.
I know. So that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
You don't like to leave.
I don't like to leave, but I'd love to. There have been a number of times where I've seen like a 6:40 tea time and I've been like, ugh, I wish.
Okay. If you want to occasionally do a 6:40 tea time, you can do that.
Well, we'll see someday.
Well, don't wait too long.
I've never been around, meaning in the state of California, for Henry's bedtime and missed it unless I was working. Fact.
If you want to do the occasional 6:40 tea time.
But you know what's crazy? He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even care when I'm not there.
No, I know. He didn't.
No, I know.
He's like, bye.
Yeah.
Now what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why do we care? These kids, they don't care about us.
I mean, I think he does care. Like, all of this cumulative time that we spend with him makes an impact on him.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. But like, he's more upset if like, he can't go out, he can't throw a can in the trash. Like, he's more upset about that than if one of us is not there.
Yeah,
for
but
time.
I think there's
and yet
like,
we put so much, you
but
know.
But I think that example of like throwing a can in the trash, that's kind of like an immediate reaction to something. Whereas
yeah.
I'm saying the cumulative effect of us being there for bedtime mm-hmm. every night makes him have like a secure attachment. It makes him know that like we're there for him. Like these are kind of the big long-term things that make
right.
a difference.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I just want him to be aware enough to be able to go to a golf range or course.
But you know, I also, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if part of the reason why it doesn't upset him too much if one of us is not there for bedtime is because we are there so much. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I know they'll be back. Like, it's not like a huge deal.
I mean, it's always funny in the morning when I wake him, when I go get him or, you know, after a nap. And like, you can see his little brain try to process. Oh, it's dad.
Yeah, but when I go to get him in the morning, without fail, the first thing he says is Dita, Dita, Dita.
He never says mama.
So
obviously he knows where you are, which is usually in bed.
Yeah, it's true.
And I say, mama's sleeping. Anyway, it was an interesting digression.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you people don't write emails. We're filling time with nonsense.
Is it nonsense, though? I feel like we're going to have people writing being like, that was your best episode in a long time.
Oh, they won't.
Okay. You're right.
Please don't.
All right. Let's hear a voicemail, shall we?
Holy shit. You weren't kidding. There's two emails in here.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of emails.
No, no. There's a difference between not a lot and two.
Well, there's some voicemails.
I mean, what? People, what is happening?
This is what I'm saying.
You don't have any old ones in the tank we never used?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Oh,
I'll look. Anyway, you have a voicemail.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, Dory, Henry, both. Ron from Karen Crow, Louisiana. I was calling because I heard you guys talking about the young lady who had, in her response to another question from last week, said about the blood mixing during a C-section, and that could cause some issues. And Matt was questioning, even though you made the blood, if that could cause problems. And I actually had some information kind of related to that. My wife is Rh negative. She is an A negative blood type. I am A positive. And she was told, her mother was told actually at birth, because she is negative, that she had to make sure she informed her doctor if she ever had children, because you can't mix the two blood types. Negative can be given to positive, but positive cannot be given to negative. It can, or I might have that backwards, but every time she's been pregnant, she had to get a Rogaine shot. I believe during and after
Rogaine?
The pregnancy.
Rogaine. Like
before she was released from the hospital, she got a Rogaine shot every time to cause, to keep the body from attacking any future fetuses. And the doctor always told her, if you don't plan on having any more kids, go ahead. Don't worry about taking the shot. If there's even a small inkling, make sure you take the shot. And, you know, we definitely made sure we took the shot just to be careful. Thank God. So, you know, just want to let you guys know. This is Ron, Karen Crow, 2,350 square feet, 5 bed, 3 baths.
And?
Got 8 kids.
There it is.
Dogs, 2 cats. Don't know how many kids, hot dogs kids have had. I finally had my first two as actually a double hot dog, 1 bun, 2 hot dogs. Delicious. And another kid on the way in January. So
what?
I hope you guys
Ron.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Unbelievable.
Wow, he really snuck that in, didn't he?
I mean, to be so fertile. The land pour forth for Ron. I mean,
wow, 9 children.
Look, good on you, I guess, for being able to A, come up with that many names.
That's a lot of names.
And B, I mean,
they're approaching like Duggar territory.
How many bedtimes do you have to be there for? What's that schedule like?
Well, I believe he once wrote in about their house.
Yes.
I think
and the bathroom, yeah, like cycling.
But they moved to a new house. Right. Like they in their old house, I think there's only 1 bathroom.
Right.
But their new house is bigger, but still I think it's only 4 bedrooms, maybe?
5 bedrooms.
5 bedrooms?
Said, yeah.
Okay. So people are sharing rooms. Beds, yeah.
I had bunk beds. I shared a room with my brother for a long time.
I shared a room with my brother until I was 5.
I was probably similar age. I don't remember. I remember the bunk beds.
Yeah, we had bunk beds too.
Yeah, bunk beds are great. Honey, I think we should get bunk beds.
Well, too bad Henry will never have a sibling to share a room with and have bunk beds.
No, no, I was saying you and I should get bunk beds.
Oh, that's fun.
Top bunk? I have to take the top bunk because, yeah, you're night terrors.
Exactly. I can never sleep on the top bunk.
Yeah, you'd either way, you'd jump out.
Yeah.
Like a
I'd break my neck.
Be like, the roof needs its medicine.
But you know what would happen is if I was on the bottom bunk,
you'd
hit
your head.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think bunk beds are a good choice for
me. All right,
me.
Bunk beds are out.
Yeah. Ron called back.
Hey guys, it's Ron from Karen Crow again. I forgot to actually mention that the reason that it was also important each time was that all of my children are A positive, like I am. So the positive can't mix with the negative. The negative would have attacked the positive fetus and probably ended in a miscarriage. Or I think it could have definitely ended in a miscarriage from what I understand, which is why it was important to get the Rogaine shot each time. So just thanks. Bye.
I mean, look, I love a follow-up.
Wow. Thank you, Ron.
Rodan isn't
Rodan and Fields.
No, Godzilla's enemy.
Oh.
Or friend, depending on when we're watching it.
Well, you know, I think we're going to take another short break.
Okay, we'll be right back because we don't have much email left.
Okay, BRB.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello.
Hello.
What's the other thing that might happen, Dory?
I was just going to say, the other thing that might happen is people might write in and be like, this is a much better length for your show, like a shorter show.
Oh, hey. If anyone thinks that the shorter length is better, let us know.
Yeah. We're happy to do a shorter show.
Let us know
show.
In the comments. Hit the bell icon.
All right. This email is from Beth. Hi, Matt and Dory. I'm Beth and a newish listener. I started listening in February of this year. As I was doing my first IVF cycle, I'll admit my listening history hasn't been linear, but it has really helped me navigate the world of IVF. So for that, I thank you. I had my first egg retrieval on March 3rd of 2021, and because I'm 40, my clinic required that I have a mammogram before my transfer. 3 mammogram appointments later, it was indeed abnormal, and I needed a biopsy on one of my breasts. The day we found out that neither of our 2 embryos were genetically normal was the same day I found out that I needed the breast biopsy. It was like an emotional punch in the tit and a kick in the crotch all on the same day. Thanks, universe. Good news, though. I don't have cancer, but I ended up needing a lumpectomy. What I ended up having is something called a radial scar, which actually isn't a scar at all, but it resembles scar tissue under a microscope, hence the name. I was told that it puts me at a higher risk for breast cancer, and my surgeon recommended me having it removed since my husband and I were actively pursuing IVF and trying to get pregnant. I had the surgery on May 12th and thankfully recovered very quickly. Now it's the beginning of June, and we are jumping right into another IVF cycle. The setback from all the boob stuff was so frustrating to me that I just wanted to jump on the IVF train ASAP. My question is, am I jumping into another IVF cycle too soon after breast surgery? Just putting out a boob signal to see if any other eggheads have experienced anything similar. I'm very sorry to hear about your recent beta results. My heart truly broke for the both of you. Can't wait for Thanks for Waiting, as I am a fellow late bloomer. All the best, Beth in Chicago with 1350 square feet, 1 husband and 2 cats. Hot dogs have been plentiful living in Chicago. Everything but relish for me, and for the hubs, a disgusting amount of ketchup, which is blasphemous, but I guess he gets a pass coming from Kansas City.
Ketchup. On a dog.
Ugh, can you imagine?
Ugh.
I don't mind ketchup on a dog.
I do. Well, get it out of here, ketchup.
Then you don't have to eat my dog.
Where's the mustard?
Boy, oh boy.
I mean, I guess it's kind of one of those questions of like, would you have ever found it any other way than going through IVF and getting mammogrammed?
Right. Yeah, because I think they've changed the recommendation. If you don't have family history, they say you can wait till 50.
Wow. It's pretty wild.
So.
I wonder if she had a family history. Did she say?
No, she didn't say.
Oh, they made you get a mammogram.
They sure did.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I had to get another one.
Yeah.
My boobs are fine. Knock on wood.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Beth, thank you for that. And I'm glad that you don't have cancer. You were able to get it removed. Are you jumping into another IVF cycle too soon? I personally don't think so, but it's like all about your comfort level.
It doesn't sound like too soon. I think like you're ready. You know what I mean? You said you're ready and then you just had a little setback with the boob stuff.
Yeah.
And I think you're still ready.
I completely agree. So, all righty. Let's hear another voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I've written in before. I've been listening for 3 years. It's been a long time. I have a weird signal to send out.
Is it from a bird sanctuary?
Not recently.
Some really nice birds in the background.
In November, I did a transfer, which had a ton of medication, including injectable Lubion, which is like progesterone, but it's not in oil. It's something else. Blood thinners, injectable blood thinners, and hydroxychloroquine, and didn't work. Plus estrogen, all that stuff. So it didn't work. But shortly after coming off of all that medication, I'd say end of November, early December, I started getting weird neurological symptoms in my feet, like neurological itch, which has now, after 6 months, has progressed to something that seems like tarsal tunnel syndrome. And like entrapped nerves in my feet. So I've got neurological symptoms in my feet. Anyway, back to the timeline. January, I did another retrieval because I'm insane. Was extremely stressed out. Got put on birth control after that retrieval because I had a cyst. On birth control, had a bit of a breakdown and decided we were done with IVF. I didn't want to do anything anymore. Went off the birth control. 4 days later, got shingles.
Jeez.
I'm not even joking. Anyway, so that was mid-February to early March. I had the shingles. And since then, the symptoms that started in early December, late November, have progressed and suck. So, I'm sending out a weird signal of trying to find out if anyone else has had this sort of like neurologic or inflammatory response that is very strange after a transfer or after going off that kind of medication.
Hmm.
I've had EMGs, MRIs, X-rays. Everything comes back normal, which is fucking, sorry, are you allowed to curse?
Yes.
Which is really frustrating. And I now have an appointment with a rheumatologist, even though my GP said all of my rheumatology tests were normal. So I'm kind of going over his head, seeing rheumatology, seeing an endocrinologist as well.
Sure.
And maybe they'll find an answer. I wanted to put this out because there is someone else on Instagram I have found that has had this problem, but she had positive labs for a autoimmune issue. And I don't yet. So, anybody sending out the signal? Thanks so much, guys. Sending love and hugs. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, there's like a nerve thing that makes her foot itch.
Yeah.
That has got to be so annoying. Especially because, like, I mean, if it's like an internal thing and it's a nerve thing, then there's nothing that's telling you that the itch has been satiated.
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Sounds awful.
I wonder if it's like some sort of, I wonder if it's psychosomatic.
No, it can't be. I doubt it is.
Well, I think that it's good that you're going to a rheumatologist. I wonder if you'd go see a podiatrist if it's in your foot. Anyway, do you have any thoughts, honey?
I would say that this is a medical mystery.
This is a classic thing that is odd that someone will be like, I had it.
This is a real horse's zebra's situation.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like we need to find the zebra.
Occam's razor.
If you will.
Okay, well, anyone out there who has eyes on a zebra,
let us know. All right. Final voicemail. Totally different topic.
Okay, I assume.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Ruben out in Boston, and, well, technically Brighton. I was just listening to today's show, and I heard you mention about the word count for Henry and having a speech therapist. And you're absolutely right. He's probably fine. Our little daughter had the same thing. She is almost four. She was having the same issue where not speaking very many words. And in Boston, I don't know if it's Massachusetts or Boston, but they had early intervention. Our pediatrician referred us to them, and they came in and checked her out and did a few exercises with her and had us focus on sign language to help her communicate. And all the things combined were really helpful. But, yeah, her words just didn't come until she started her pre-K, her K-0 technically out here. And it was fine. I mean, I know you guys are probably feeling fine about it, but just for any other listeners out there, that just some children develop a little bit later than others, and it's not a hard and fast rule that they should have a certain number of words at a certain time. And yet at the same time, I'm very glad that we had her checked out by the early intervention people just to make sure, you know, that there wasn't some underlying condition that that we weren't aware of. And so I just wanted to share that. All right.
Part of me wonders with Henry if it's like the fact, this sounds crazy. This is going to sound crazy, Dory. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If it's the fact that we don't really let him watch television.
I don't know.
Because I feel like so much of my, or not my specifically, but I think just so much language just comes from seeing it and hearing it.
Yeah, but I think
cartoon miles are probably not the...
I think for him, it's a function of not having been around a consistent group of kids. I think that will really help him.
Yeah, I mean, I see that for sure. But like, why do the other kids, like, why do these other 2-year-olds have it?
You know, I asked that exact question.
To whom?
To the speech therapist.
Yes.
And she said, look, every kid's different. Like, for some kids, they might not need that. For Henry, he needs that. And like, that's just... It is, you know, that's
but
just
I wish
it
would be
it
like,
is.
Well, it's because those other kids are watching Sesame Street constantly.
I mean, I know for a fact that some of the kids who we know who are talking are not watching TV.
Hmm. All right. What are they doing?
But I would be fine with him watching more Sesame Street.
All right.
I don't really want him watching more Super Wings.
He loves it.
I know, but like.
The kid, you know, the Super Wings are go, go, go.
I know.
He's already got words from it, see?
Yep. And oh, 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 oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to start showing him Sesame Street, that's fine. I showed him Cocomelon the other day. He was really into it.
That's the one with all the singing that you had on?
Songs about like putting on your shoes. And he was like pointing the screen. He was like, And I was like, yep, you put on your shoes
too.
Because
he knows. He's like, I get it. You know? Sometimes I put on shoes.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, the songs are so dumb.
Yeah.
But he's 2. So he was like, this is awesome.
That's like the thing with like, whenever I see children's entertainer people, I'm like, you made money doing this, writing these stupid fucking songs.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing?
Playing video games?
I could write a song about putting on your shoes.
Go ahead.
Give me a guitar.
You have a lot in here.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know what, Matt? This brings us to the end of today's short episode.
Like Trek shorts. Like short episodes of Star Trek that they have on something. What is it? Paramount now? Paramount Plus is what it's called? It's not CBS All Access anymore, right?
Oh, yeah, it's Paramount Plus.
There you go.
Yep.
Get that with all your other subscriptions.
Yeah.
Wherever subscriptions are subscribed.
But before we go, we do have to thank our Patreon supporters.
Yes, we do. Without them, I don't know that we'd still be doing the podcast, in all honesty.
I agree with that.
So, if you want to make sure the podcast keeps going, support us on Patreon.
All right. Thank you to the following Patreon supporters.
Here comes Aaron Gudge.
Aaron Turley.
Frederick Wawa.
Greg Watchorn.
Greta Truitt.
Hannah Crowder.
Hillary Berry.
Jackie G.
Jennifer Steele.
Jess Branch.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Grigsby.
Jessica Manolovich.
Julia Schulenberg.
Manolovich.
Manolovich.
I said that right. Manolovich? Okay. Julie McLaren.
Kane McCall.
Kat C.
Catherine Lene.
Catherine Shimmons.
Katie Regan.
Kelly Zimmerman.
Carrie Mills.
Kim Mestra.
Christopher Fonagy.
Laura.
Laura Dodge.
Lauren Gleason, the Donkey of Prey.
LFB.
Liesl.
Lindsay Gish.
Linnea Wynn.
Lisa.
Liz.
Marina Breed.
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Mary Jo George.
Maud Tremblay.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Magana Prasad.
And Melinda Phelps.
Thank you all so very much for being so very supportive of this tiny little podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so. Go to patreon.com/excellentadventure and get some bonus episodes while you're at it.
We appreciate you.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.